The next thing that I want to share with you is also something that is more, I believe, well known, but I think helpful. But I think helpful in trying to frame the essence of what Pesach is all about, and in particular, picking up on some of the themes that were referred to earlier. So on page 53, we have the famous Mishnah in Arve Pesachim about the Seder. So Mazgulo Kol Sheni V'chan HaBein Shoel Aviv Im Das Beben Aviv Malamdo Manishtana. Then at the bottom, to skip to the next Mishnah, Rabban Gamliel Hoya Omer Kol Shelo Omar Shlosha Dvar Meilu BaPesach Lo Yotzi Yedei Chovaso. And then skip another few lines. Bechol dor vador, chayav adam on kuf tezayin amidbeis, liro says atzmo, ke'ilu hu yatza mi mitzrayim. So what we do on the night of Pesach is to reenact Yitzias Mitzrayim. Chayav adam liro says atzmo, ke'ilu hu yatza mi mitzrayim. The famous Rambam on the next page, in Perek Zayin Allah Chavav, in Elchus Chamei Tzumatza, bechol dor vador. Right, you're all familiar with the slightly different formulation. Chayav Adam Laharos es Atzmo Ke'ilu Hu Ba'atzmo Yotza Ata Mishibud Mitzrayim. And of course, on the next page, we have incorporated this Mishnah into the Haggadah. Bechol Dor Vador Chayav Adam Liros es Atzmo Ke'ilu Hu Yotza Mi Mitzrayim. And he quotes himself. Which means, practically speaking, that every act in which we engage on the night of Pesach reflects this experience of leaving Egypt. Chayav Adam liros es atzmo, laharos es atzmo, ki'ilu hu yatza mi Mitzrayim. And we understand very well that in order to experience leaving Egypt, we have to experience having been in Egypt. It doesn't have any sense. Makes no sense to leave Egypt. How can you experience the leaving unless you understood what it is from which one leaves?
Why isn't this come at the beginning?
Good question. It's not really at the end. It's in the middle. Good question. Good question. I mean, the obvious answer is because in the Mishnah it's that way. So then you have to ask yourself, in the Mishnah, why? Okay. So what I want to do is I want to analyze the different components or elements of the Seder in light of this fundamental obligation. And what is it that we do to remind ourselves of the servitude in Egypt, and what is it that we do to remind ourselves of the redemption from Egypt? And what I want to argue and show you, and just really open it up for you, because you see this everywhere, and you will see it everywhere when you start to think this way, is that virtually everything we do is both. In other words, it's not as if this I do for Shibud, and this I do for Cherus, and this I do for Avdus, and this I do for Geula. It's the dialectic is inherent in the essence of the object itself, which, and here I speak very personally, for me is a real challenge on the night of the Seder. It's a real challenge for me personally, and I'll explain to you why in a moment. So when it comes to Maror seems to be pretty straightforward. You know, if behind me I had a blackboard and I had a Shibud column on one side and I had a Cherus column on the other side, so I would put Maror in the Shibud column. Now, what about Charoses? I just want to take one by one. I just want to show you this is pretty straightforward. I may point out some things that you haven't seen yet, but the idea is very compelling to me, and the more you think about it, the more examples you yourselves will discover. Now let's take a look at Charoses. So I'm saying Charoses. What'd you say? No, I'm saying they're not either or, they're both. I would say in the case of Maror, it seems to be pretty straightforward, although I would probably not say that absolutely definitively, but I'm saying to you, that's why I say it this way, it seems pretty straightforward. And, you know, you'll dig enough and you'll find, you'll be able to make a case. I think even for Mara, but for the time being, let's leave Mara aside.
Ibn Ezra went far.
Yeah, what does Ibn Ezra say? So he associates. So what does he do with Marzel and Ochlim? So it's a dialectic because it's both. It's not just one or the other. Right. We'll come to Almasas and Rom Yechul. Correct. Right. Good. So we see. So even in Mara, you see already the dialectic in that object, which on the face of it seems to be most clearly identifiable, is itself dialectic. So turn back to page 53, the Amud Gemara that we just started in this unit, about the 8-10 lines from the top, Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadik Omer Mitzvah. So this is based on the Mishnah earlier, where the Mishnah says that Charoses is a mitzvah. My mitzvah, Rabbi Levi Omer Zecher L'Tapuach, the Rabbi Yochanan Omer Zecher L'Tit. One is Zecher L'Tapuach, and one is Zecher L'Tit. What is the Zecher L'Tapuach? So both Rashi and the Rashbam say, Shehoyu, I'm reading from Rashi now, Shehoyu Yoldos Bnei Am Sham Below Etzev, it's right in the middle of Rashi, Zecher L'Tapuach, Shehoyu Yoldos Bnei Am Sham Below Etzev, Shelo Yakiru Bohen Mitzrim, in Egypt they gave birth without terrible pain, V'chsiv Tachas Tapuach Orar Ticha. And the Rashbam quotes the Gemara in Saita, Zecher l'tapuach, it's right in the middle of the Rashbam, but Masachet Sota, Shahare Yoldo Shem Bineim below Etzev, Shelo Yakiru Bohen Mitzriim, Dechsiv, Tachas, Hatapuach, Orar Ticha. So look for a second to turn, please, to page 61. So on page 61, I Zirax the Gemara in Sota for you. The Gemara in Sota on Yod Aleph Amid Beis, in the third line from the top, Darash Rav Avira, Bishar Nashim Tzidkaniyos Shahayu Baoso Hador, famous Gemara, third line from the wide lines on the top, on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, page 61. Darash Rav Avira, Bishar Nashim Tzidkaniyos Shahayu Baoso Hador, Nigalu Yisrami Mitzrayim. And he tells the whole story, Bishar Shahochos Lishov Mayim, Ekadosh Baruch Mizamed Lahem Dagim Kanim, etc., etc., etc. And then, so they gave the chizuk for their husbands who were depressed, to engage in sexual relations in order to be able to propagate the next generation of the Jewish people. And then the Gemara says, V'kivin shem esabros ba'os lebateyen, V'kivin shem agia zman moldehen, holchos v'yoldos besode tachas hatapuach, shenemer tachas hatapuach haratich. And then the Gemara go back to the Gemara Psachim. So the Gemara Psachim actually gives us, God bless you, actually gives us a recipe. It's an unusual Gemara. Gemaras generally don't give us recipes. So the Gemara gives us a recipe. I'm Rabbi Hilkach Tzarech Lekahuye V'Tzarech Lesamuche. Lekahuye Zecher L'Tapuach. It has to be a little acidy. Zecher L'Tapuach. V'Tzarech Lesamuche. It has to be thick. Zecher L'Tit. So if I were to ask you, what's Charoses? Is Charoses Shibud or is Charoses Geula? So once again, we come across the conundrum because Zecher L'Tapuach, fascinating, is not quite yet Geula in light of the previous shiur. It's perfect. It's towards Geula. Okay. I mean, after all, it's optimistic. After all, there's still Nebuch in Shibud Mitzrayim, but it's looking forward. It's, there's going to be a future. It's, we're going to get out of here. It's worthwhile having babies in order to be able to continue the Jewish people. It's already a shtikala move towards redemption. Zecher L'Tit, of course, is the opposite. Now look at the Yerushalmi in Psachim on page 59. Yerushalmi introduces a third image when it comes to the Charoses. And the Yerushalmi, right before Halacha Dalid, in the middle of the line, is Zecher L'Dam. Yerushalmi says that Zecher L'Dam is also a piece of Charoses. So now let me ask you, if I were to say that the Charoses is Zecher L'Dam, what comes to mind when it's Zecher L'Dam? Okay, the Bris Milah. In terms of the story of Pesach, the Pesach story, what? The Korban Pesach, or the Dam on the Mashkov, or the first of the Makos, or the simanim on the doors, the dam on the mashkof, the simanim on the doors,
killing
the Jewish babies. That's a machlokas, the carbon ha'eda and the Pnei Moshe. Just look at the commentaries on the Yerushalmi. It's really remarkable. The Yerushalmi says zecher l'dam. Look at the carbon ha'eda on the left hand side. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 full lines from the bottom. I'm sorry that the print is so small. So the Korban Eda says, Zecher Ladam, Shahaya Shokin Bitit, Al Hayaladim Haktanim. The blood of the Jewish babies that were sunk into the pyramids. So what image of is that? That's the image of Shibud. Now look at the Pnei Moshe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. Zecher Ladam, from the bottom of the paragraph. At the top right-hand side of the page, before Halacha Dalid, says the Pnei Moshe, Zecher Ledam, Maka, Harishona, Shebo Aleim. So when you say Dam, Dam itself has a multiplicity of images. So even the Yerushalmi, who adds now a third image, besides the Tapuach and the Tit, which itself lends itself to a multiplicity of images, by introducing in the Yerushalmi the Dam, that also becomes itself a multiplicity of images, depending on the Korban HaEda or on the Pnei Moshe. Let's move now to Dalet Kosos. So I xeroxed again the same Rashi and the Rashbam that I xeroxed for you earlier at the beginning of Arvei Pesachim, now on page 63. Now on page 63.
You have page 63?
So we're now on page 63. Once again, why do we have Dalet Kosos? Which column are you going to put the Dalet Kosos in? Is it Shibud or is it Geula? So we would say, what? Arba'a Lashonos Shel Geula. Now we're Lumdim, so it's not necessarily Arba'a Lashonos Shel Geula, it's Arba'a Geulos. Right? You know, ask any kid, it's a slam dunk. Arba Kosos is a slam dunk that we should do Geula. And therefore the question always is, now you always think about this, every year at the Seder, is the chronology is off. Why am I starting with Geula? I mean, if Chai Vadam Lira Sitzatzmo Kilu Yatsim Mitzrayim, so I would imagine that at the night of the Seder, I should first wallow a little bit in the Shibud, first sort of get myself into the mood of what it was like to be a slave, and that's the hardest thing for us. We're living, Baruch Hashem, in a golden Medina. Canada is such a wonderful country, and even the United States is also a shtekala wonderful country. For us to feel Shibud is like such a stretch. You know, we go to the hotel and we've got 98 chareins sitting there with 44 salad dressings. You know, I mean, it's like, go feel the Shibud in the middle of the hotel. So it's hard. It's an avodah to feel the Shibud. So at least give me a fighting chance. I should sit down at the Seder. The first thing I should do is that I should have Moror. Epit something to get me into the mood. No, but we start right away with Geula, because clearly L'cha'ora Arba Kosos is Geula. Page 65, I xerox the Torah Tmima for you again. On page 67, I xerox the Keneged Arba Geula to the Yerushalmi again. But it's not so simple, because even the Arba Kosos themselves are inherently also dialectical. So if you look on page 69, so the Gemara says in Arvei Pesachim on Kufchet Samedes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tzarech Sheyehe Botam Umare, that there's a special color that's associated with the Arba Kosos. What's the color that's associated with the Arba Kosos? Amar Rava my time of Rabbi Yehuda Dechsev Al Tere Yayin Ki Yis Adam, that the wine should be red. Paskins the Shulchan Aruch on the next page, on page 71, in Simen Tafayin Beis Seif Yud Aleph, right in the middle, mitzvah lachzer achar yayin edom. There is a mitzvah to have red wine. Im what?
Adom, not
edom. Adom, thank you. Yayin adom. Im ein halavan mishubach mimenu. Unless the white is more mishubach. If the white is more mishubach, then we should have white instead of red. But there's a din in red. Why is there a din in red? What's the red? Zakta magen Avraham. Ed Adom, Sifkaten Yud Gimel, Yayin Adom, Zecher Ladam. Okay, but now again, I point out to you that the Zecher L'dam itself is enigmatic. Look at the Taz.
Which dam?
Which dam? So look at the Taz. Acher Yayin Adam, Dechsev, Altere Yayin Kiyas Adam, Shmamina, Sheha Adam Dumis, Hu Ma'ale. The redness is a Maila. The Hikbid, Frekta Taz, if that's the case, that redness is a Maila, why is redness a Maila only on Pesach? Why is redness not a Maila on Friday night? Why is redness not a Maila B'chlal when I make Kiddush? Why is it only a din in the Seder? Why don't we have an Ilcha Shabbos? Such a halacha of mitzvah lachzor achar yayin edom. Adom. I'm sorry. So zok de taz, v'hikbir hatur kan bedalet kosos bozev lo b'kiddush, v'yesh od remez, zecher l'dam, and here the taz spells it out. Unlike the Magen Avraham that zok says zecher l'dam, Zecher l'dam shehaya paro shochet b'nei Yisrael. So here's my question. I told you before, I have a real challenge at the Seder. Because when I do a Maisa HaMitzvah, and I'm sure all of us, we don't just want to do the Maisa HaMitzvah, we want to experience the Maisa HaMitzvah. We want the Kiyum HaMitzvah to be affecting us, not just the Pulis HaMitzvah. It's not just, I remember Rabbi Soloveitcher used to say, you know, a robot, a monkey, can also, you know, shake a lulav, you know. But what makes me different is that I'm affected by it. There's an inner sense of a connection. There's a transformation. So I try to think about what it is that I do. So here I am, Eshtel Zechavek. I sit down at the Seder. I welcome Aunt Millie and Aunt Tilly and Archibald and Jennifer. We welcomed them already an hour ago. So we welcome them again to the Seder, and now we're ready to start Arba Kaisis. We start the Seder. Kadesh! So I make Kiddush, I drink the wine, and what am I thinking? I do the Haseba, after all Haseba, I would imagine I would put into the Geula, to the Cheres column. So I'm doing it the Haseba, and I'm looking at the color. So there is this incredible dialectic within the actual Maisa Mitzvah itself. So should I be thinking Arbol Hashem Hashel Geula Haseba Shpreit Zachayis, feeling like a king, Arbol Geulos, not just Arbol Hashem Hashel Geula, Arbol Geula. But then I look at the color and Severt Menebach Yenetaz Severt Mefinster in the Oiden, because now I'm drinking Jewish blood. I'm mamish ingesting Dam Shehaya Paro Shachem in Israel, and the path continues. Veha'idna, what?
It makes it stronger.
Veha'idna nimnu umi likach yayin adom etnei alulo shkarim. What is alulo shkarim? It's just a rage. Now it happened 2 weeks ago with Toaf in Israel. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. The blood libel. When did the Taz live? You know when the Taz lived? The Taz lived in the middle of the 17th century. The Taz experienced the Khmelnytsky massacres of 1648-1649. The Taz lived through Shabtai Tzvi in 1666-1667. He lived smack in the middle of the 17th century. We're talking blood libel time. So what the dialectic is so intense that it's very belated, it's very striking. I just want to read to you something that I discovered mamish yesterday. So I guess I should have actually Xeroxed it earlier, but I forgot to Xerox it.
We could copy later.
Yeah, but I won't be here later, so we'll see what we could do. I'll give you the reference. So Schneer Lyman, Professor Schneer Lyman, published an article in a journal called Polin in the year 2002 about Rabbi Yonason Eibschitz and Frankism. You know, the Frankist movement was an offshoot of the Sabbatian movement. And the Frankists turned against traditional Jewish life and tried to prove that Jews were really diabolically anti-Christian in order to gain favor. What distinguished the Frankists is that they converted to Christianity and they became Christians and turned very much against their former co-religionist, and in a document which Rabbi Yonason Eibschitz rebutted, they referred to this Taz. they quote this Taz. The Frankists, I'm reading to you from Professor Lyman, cited, the Frankists cited from the 16th century Jewish code of law, Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim 470-11, that it is obligatory to use red wine at the Passover meal. They then cited the Turei Zahav, a 17th century commentary on the code by Rabbi David ben Samuel Halevi, who wrote that red wine was preferable because the color alludes to the Jewish blood shed by Pharaoh in Egypt. These citations claimed the Frankists proved that Jews must drink Christian blood on Passover. How so? The Frankists explained that nowhere in Scripture is there mention of Jewish blood shed by Pharaoh in Egypt. Thus, all these citations are really a secret code whose true meaning is Jews are required to drink Christian blood on Passover. So what they do is they turn the whole thing upside down, and Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz was clearly able to respond to this and straighten them out. But you see how live this is, that even the Taz, who concludes and says we don't do this today because we're so nervous about Ali Lashkarim, was himself used dafka in the context of an Ali Lashek. So that's the story with Arbakos. Let's go to Matzah. I'm reading to you what it says. You're asking what the Taz means, what the Magen Avraham means. The color reminds you of blood. The color.
The whole concept of drinking blood.
Okay, so we're not drinking blood. We're drinking red wine, and the red wine reminds us of the blood. But you have the same Taz that I have. As I say, okay. But I understand it. I understand it because the color is awful, awful, awful. Doesn't get worse than this. Blood. Dam, Shehoya Paro Shochi B'nei Yisrael, while at the same time, I Tzeisi V'Tzalti V'Gahalti V'Lakachti Avol De'ulis V'Leibedik. Look at matzah. This is my last point. What's matzah? No, what's matzah? Matzah is also both. Halachma Anya, page 73. Right, when you realize it, it jumps out of you all over the place. So I'm just opening this up for you. Here it's the first piece I gave you was baked through. Pardon the Pesach allusion, right? Or not baked through. It was baked through. This one is just ha'aris for you to just think about. What's matzah on page 73? Shalom aleichem matzah. The first time we say shalom aleichem matzah, halach ma'anya bi'achalo avasona. And then we say Matzah Zushan Ochlam Al Shema. We're already on the way out of here. We're already leaving Mitzrayim. So are we in Egypt or are we on the way out of Egypt? Which leads me in conclusion to a fascinating Sefer HaManhig, which is what I want to conclude with, which you may not have seen. I mean, the other stuff, and here I'm just, there's a lot more to do. There's a lot more to do with Maror. There's a lot more to do with Charoses. There's a lot more to do with Arbakosos. There's a lot more to do with Matzah. Each thing that we do lends itself to this multiplicity of approaches inherent in the same object. Like, I used to think when I was younger that there's a line, and this goes here, and this goes here, and this goes here, and then I had to struggle to understand why did I start with a Geula thing. I should have started with a shibud thing. But over the course of time it became very clear that in fact it's not so neat. So look at the Rambam and look at the Sefer HaManhig on page 75. The Rambam says as follows, Nachum al the Rambam, V'achar kach, line 7 in the Rambam, V'achar kach korech matzah u'moror ka'achas u'metabel b'charoses. So you do the tibul of matzah and maror with charoses. Zok the Sefer HaManhig. Who's the Sefer HaManhig? But I always say that his mother didn't say, Sefer HaManhigol, kimaher Sefer HaManhigol, throw out the garbage, Sefer HaManhigol. What did his mother say? Avremela. His name was Rabbi Avraham. His name was Rabbi Avraham Yarchi. Yarchi means Lunel, means moon. And he came from the city in Provence in southern France called Lunel. There's a city today, you go visit Provence in southern France, you can go to Lunel. At one point, the Rambam writes a letter, the last letter of the Rambam in his life that we have. He writes to Chachmei Lunel, and he writes to them, listen guys, it's all up to you. Because the Jews in France, they're not, they're very schwach. In Germany, they're very schwach. And in Spain, they're very schwach. The Megitza Chadre, the Jewish communities are extremely weak. You guys are holding on. We're counting on you. The future of the Jewish people is on your shoulder. That's the way the Rambam writes the Chachmei Lunel. At one point, clearly, at the beginning of the 13th century, the Rambam died in 1204. The beginning of the 13th century, Chachmei Lunel were powerhouses. But they disappeared. We don't know too much about Chachmei Lunel. If you go to Lunel today, and I've been in Lunel, there are no, there's no artifacts, there's no evidence at all. There's not a shul, there's nothing. They say that a particular neighborhood is the old neighborhood where the Jews used to live. But there's really nothing. So the Sefer HaManig lived in Lunel. Avram Berab Nassan Hayarchi. What? He lived in the generation after the Rambam. He lived in the 13th century. Actually, the time of the Rambam. He was a close colleague of the Ravid, the Balasagas of the Rambam. So it's around the time of the Rambam. And the Sefer HaManig is actually a fascinating book. It is a study in what I call comparative customology. Because what he did was, you know where Provence is. Provence is, in Zutin Yiddish, Nishtahin and Nishtaher. What does Nishtahin and Nishtaher mean? It's not France and it's not Spain. It's not Germany, it's not Franco-German, it's not Ashkenaz, and it's also not Sfarad. So it sort of falls into the cracks. My lay teacher, Professor Tversky, who I studied with for many years, wrote his doctoral dissertation on the Ravid, and he wrote a very important article on the social and religious history of the Jews in Provence. And essentially he argues that Provençal Jewry, sandwiched in between to the north Ashkenaz and over the Pyrenees to the south Spain, represented its own cultural unit, its own separate cultural unit, that in fact it was culturally also Nishtahin and Nishtaher. But geographically, Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Nassan Yarchi is poised to do what he does, and that is he travels north, and he travels all through Ashkenaz, and he sees all the Ashkenazi minhagim, then he picks himself up and he goes over the Pyrenees, and he goes into Spain, and he travels around Spain, and he sees all the Spanish minhagim. So he will go issue by issue by issue by issue, and they'll tell you, in this Ashkenazi minhag they did this way, and in this city they did this way, and then I came to Spain, and they do this way. It's a study in comparative customology. It's fascinating. So he writes as follows, when it comes to this halacha in the Rambam. V'niflesi al zeh, Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Nassan Hayarchi, Yerach, Lunel, Lunar, Moon Town. V'niflesi al zeh shekosvu. He says, I'm amazed that the Rambam paskins letabel hamatza decharoses. V'lo ra'isi v'lo shamati minag zeliola. I never saw this, I never heard this. Parenthesis, and let me tell you something, that if I never saw it and I never heard it, it's got to be hugely problematic. Why? Because I've seen and heard everything. Because I've been all over the place. And if it's done, I know about it. I don't know about it, this is a problem. No, I could say lo reisi v'lo shamati, kishmach, you know, what do you know? Lo reisi v'lo shamati. Lo reino ain't a raya. For him it is a raya. Because he got on his donkey and he went. And he, the whole book is here, 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 up, down, Ashkenaz, Sfarad. First of all, he says, I never saw it. Second of all, he says, there's a fundamental objection. V'chi efshar lomar kein? V'halo hamad, tzricha heseba. And the charoses, however, by contrast, is what? Is zechel titul shibudi. The heich yitzchabru hacherus v'hashibud ze im ze sheze soyser ze. You hear the manik shreit chayim v'kayim on the Rambam. How could the Rambam say your deep matz and charoses that's mutually exclusive? Because matz is cherus and charoses is what? Is Shibud, is Echelatit, Zikim to katzim in the vaser. They're lo yischaber. How can you bring them together? They're opposites. You hear his question. It's an amazing question. I think it's a fundamentally flawed question. My whole mahaloch.
Ain't
hachinami. What are you talking? Mas is both. And guess what? Chalosis is both. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
on matzah sum rorim. Right, matzah more together before the manig. How could the manig is worried about the dipping in the charo? What about al matzah sum rorim yochlu? So zefnendach. Thank you. Look at the tour. Turn over the page. Thank you, Dan. Page 77. So this manhig was rescued from the manhig and was put into the tour. The velt knows the manhig, not from the manhig. The velt knows the manhig from the tour. The tour quotes this halachi, quotes in the name of Rav Amram, five lines from the bottom on page 77. Five lines because of Rav Amram, v'yavarech hamotzi, v'yatabel b'charoses v'yochal. You take the matzah and you dip it into the roast of chen because of a Rambam zal. Then he says, he asks a question, and then va'od hiksha, next to the last line, va'od hiksha ba'al ha-manig l'divreihem sh'matzah hi zecher l'cherus v'charoses zecher l'tit v'hech yischabru zem zeh. So there are two answers I want to share with you, and then I want to share with you my answer, which I already shared with you. So look at the Heligabach. Zok the Heligabach, the bottom of the page on page 77, next to the last line in the Bach, all the way at the bottom of the page on page 77. Umash shehiksha ba'al ha-manik, you have it? Umash shehiksha ba'al ha-manik, shematza hi zecher l'cheres, the goinus of the Bach. Shematza hi zecher l'cheres, v'charoz zecher l'tit, efshar loma. The kavanaseinu, what are we doing when we dip the matzah in the charoses? Lahoros b'tibul zeh, shehotzionu me'avdos shehu mitit, shehacharoses zecher lo, l'cherus shehamatzah zecher lo. In other words, what is he saying? The Bach, it's not a din in the dipping. It's a din in the undipping. It's a din in the taking out. What's the imagery? I take the matzah out of the charoses. I get redeemed out of the shibud of the charoses. How can I take it out? I can only take it out if I first stick it in. So I have to put it in to take it out. But it's not a din in the putting in. It's a din in the removal. So I remove the images I'm removing. I have your right, he says. They are mutually exclusive, but I'm removing the removing of the matzah, page 77, next to the last line. I'm removing the matzah, and by removing the matzah, I am enacting the redemptive process. Finally, look at the Heliga Prichadosh on page 79. So the Prichadosh says a shtickle of what I was going to suggest. Prichadosh says on page 79, here I blew it up for you, so it should all be Ma'orei Nayim. That's because this Prichadosh, boy, you know, you got 9 microscopes to find this Prichadosh. Yeah, Zokta Das HaRambam, next to the last one, I promised you 2 minutes to 5. You didn't give me the warning. I told you to give me the warning. Das HaRambam, the Kazayis Shelach, a second line in the Prichadosh. Das haRambam de kazayis shel achilas matza sorach tibul lecharoses. Umashehik shadehele gebal hamanig shematza hi zecher lecherus vecharoses zecher letit yesh lomar shetibul ze becharoses is zecher letapuach ukisvaras Reb Levi b'Gemara. Who says that the charoses is only zecher letit? The charoses also has a multiplicity of images. Inami lo kasha klal. And this goes back to what Rabbi Michael said earlier, Daksiv, Al Matzos Umorim Yochluhu Afalpi Shemoror Zecher L'Shibud. What, all of a sudden you woke up when it came to the table? What about Al Matzos Umorim? The Moror is Zecher L'Shibud, and the Matzah L'Shitascha is Zecher L'Cherus, Zehech Yischabru Ze'em Zeh. But my point is to sharpen the Prichadosh. is that in fact both of them are both. So the whole kasha is Eichis Chabru, this which is this and this which is that. No, this is both and this is both. So the Chibur is perfect. So we should be Zeicha. We should be Zeicha to move from the Shibud, the Geula, from the terrible times to the wonderful times. B'mehera b'yameinu. I wish all of you a freilichen and a wonderful yom. You want to give out?